Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
Based in Santa Ana, California, BioNano Power provides the highest performance lithium ion phosphate batteries for the marine market. These batteries are one quarter the weight of sealed lead acid batteries, provide over 2,000 to 3,000 charge cycles, and a 10 plus year service life. These batteries can be used for any deep cycle application, including running fish finders, trolling motors, live wells, and LED lights. For more information, visit BioNanoPower.com. That's BioNanoPower.com or contact dealers nationwide.
Welcome to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. This is the final cast segment with your hosts, Brad Hicks and Josh Eldridge, where we cast our final opinions on all products, good and bad. Welcome to the final cast.
You're listening to the final cast on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm Brad.
What's up, Brad?
What's up, man?
My name's Josh. It's nice to meet you.
Hey, you too. Good to know you, man.
Right?
Well, I'm not even going to go into like any kind of like little conversation here because I want to get into it. We got a cool guest that I saw somebody else post this product on their Facebook page. And I was like, that's pretty cool. Because I like hockey and I like fishing, and he combined both of them. So, Chris LeMessurier, welcome to the show.
Right, you got it.
Yes. I was kind of nervous about that.
It must be that French-Canadian in you, Brad.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
It's more not French-Canadian and Brad. It's more Ohio hillbilly where – I mean, it's Brad Hicks. Come on.
Yeah, that rich Ohio culture, huh?
Yeah. he's probably going to agree with that because he's from Michigan. you a big Michigan fan then?
I am, yeah. a little ashamed, so I'm hoping we don't talk a lot about football. But, yeah, I'm a Michigan fan. I'm married into a big Michigan family. And yeah, I enjoy watching them. But hard to be enthusiastic about, you know, Michigan football right now.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about it because Brad loves to state that he hates Ohio teams.
Okay.
So, I mean, listening. And I'm a Buckeyes fan, but I'm not like over the top about it. You know, I enjoy watching them and stuff like that, follow it a little bit. And I really am not into pro sports that much. So,
because you like the Browns.
I mean, I watch them, but I do. To be honest with you, I'll maybe watch like one full professional football game a year.
Yeah,
that's it. I'll watch college, but I mean, to be honest with you, the more I've gotten into fishing, the less sports I actually watch now. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Chris, let us know a little bit about you. Where you're from? What you do? What kind of kayak you're in? Whatever.
Yeah. So, well, you see one of them behind me there. Yeah. So I live in Michigan, in a suburb of Detroit, and kind of born and raised actually kind of in Southeast Michigan. So, you know, probably not too different from where you guys are. There's tons of, you know, lakes and streams and rivers, and then of course Great Lakes right here too. So, you know, kind of spoiled by all the water around us. And you could probably tell by my hat and the Commander behind me, which is one of like six kayaks in the garage. I'm a Wilderness Systems fan. I'm actually on their pro staff team and their pro staff manager. Been with them for several years. And yeah, so like you guys, right, kayak fishing is a huge passion of mine, and like to spend as much time on the water in my kayak as possible.
That's cool.
Brad's not been to St. Clair yet. Tell him what he's missing out on.
Nothing there. Small perch, sheephead. That's about it. Don't even bother coming up. Especially between like April and June. Don't even come here.
Don't bother.
Yeah. The last thing I want to see is another Ohio license plate.
Yeah. I know that's a lie because I've seen Josh crush it up there quite a few times.
I've only been up there with the one time, and it was an epic weekend, to say the least. You know, it's one of the most fun times I've ever had fishing. And I mean, I fished, it was the, what was it? The Mayo and Topwater event last year. Mm-hmm. And it was the first weekend in June, and me and my buddy Mike and Brandon went up there and fish it. And it was kind of really last minute that we decided to do it. And we went, made our way up there. Literally, we were going to stay on a boat, like a rental boat that you could sleep in. And that ended up falling through. We finally found a hotel to sleep in that a buddy of ours from Ohio was renting. And he was like, "Hey, I'm leaving the day you guys are coming up here. You should be able to book that room." And we did. And so we found a hotel to stay in. And dude, it was literally one of the most fun times fishing I've ever had. So, and I mean, I think I put up a 93 and I was like in 16th place.
What time of year was that, Josh?
It was the first weekend in June.
June, yeah. 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 So that's probably the end of the spawn or the beginning of the end of the spawn. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're kind of bedfish. I mean, if conditions are really good, you can bedfish. You can watch them and look at them and stuff. Yeah. It's a big body of water, so it tends to get, you know, choppy and stirred up. And so sometimes you're just kind of drifting and blind casting, you know, bed fishing, but there's still so many good fish in there. It's just the spawn and the pre-spawn is just that's the time to come, you know, which can be, you know, the fishing can be really good. Like depending, like this year, right after Easter, and that's early April, we had a warm up and it was really, really good. And then you kind of get like a stretched out pre-spawn period. And then they move in and, you know, are actually on the beds in, you know, mid-May, late May into early June.
Now, do they hang out shallow for a little bit in the pre-spawn? Or are they sitting out
deep?
They just rush in, spawn, and rush out?
No, they come in. They kind of come in slowly. You know, when they're kind of done wintering and they come up, you know, from the deeper water and look for bait, start to school up. They'll be on, you know, rock piles and things like that as pre-spawn. So they will be in a little bit shallower. And that's why I like to target them, you know, in kind of a pre-spawn as opposed to a true spawn or true bed fishing.
Yeah.
You get, you know, just really aggressive fish, you know, they're trying to put the feed bag on before spawn. And then, you know, of course the females are all big, they're full of roe.
Yeah.
And so, that's my preferred time. But like I said, that can be, you know, April-ish, early May, and sometimes the weather can be sketchy. So it's, you know, not always the most comfortable fishing, but you know, if you're going to come to Lake St. Clair, that's when you want to come, in my opinion.
Yeah. What about the summertime? I never hear many people talk about it in the summer.
Yeah. It's more challenging, especially from the kayak. They move offshore and they can still school up, but you know, Lake St. Clair is a massive lake, right? It's what, I don't know, 30 something miles, 20 something miles across. Right. So, it's you know, they and it's not a deep lake, right? It's a kind of drops down to 8 to 10 feet, 12 feet. And then it kind of does that all the way across to the shipping channel is dredged out, but they just move way offshore. And again, you can find them on, you know, cabbage beds or rock piles and stuff, but they're out, you know, quite a ways from shore.
Yeah. And they spread out a lot. They, like you said, it seems to be, you'll find a school, but it kind of comes and goes, and they're not very big schools. And it's kind of what I've always, from a lot of the videos, some people are like, you got to hang in a spot and they'll come and go. And then maybe another group will come and go, especially if you're finding like a rock pile. You know, that's kind of the gist I was getting out of that summertime bite when they kind of go deeper. But Brad, it's crazy, man. You get up next to the bank and you're like 5 feet deep, you know, until you get near some docks, but then it stays like 8 to 12 feet forever. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like something I would like.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's get into the product, man. This is what this show's all about. We spotlight products, we review them, we do a little bit of everything. So, talk about your business, how you got started, how long you been doing it for.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Yeah, so it's Broken Twig Landing Nets, and I actually have some here next to me. So, like the name suggests, right, this is a former hockey stick, right? It's mm-hmm. it's a Bauer, although it's probably upside down. And turned into a fishing net. So Broken Twig, obviously, you know, hockey sticks called twigs. And I was able to, it took me 43 years to kind of combine my life passions. But there you go, some pictures of it. So I'm a big hockey fan. I grew up, you know, in Detroit area, right? So I rooting for the Red Wings. I played hockey my whole life. And the past few years, I've been lucky enough to coach my kids. My daughter and my son both play mm-hmm. hockey. And it's exciting because, like anything else, if you're a parent, you know, watching them develop a passion that you share is really fun. And then, you know, like we talked about in the beginning, you know, I fish a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So to combine those two things, I'm really lucky to be able to do that. And I think it's an idea that's kind of been brewing in my head for a long time that, you know, hockey sticks, right? Like I had a couple here next to me, right? This happens, right? And gets thrown into a dumpster. But it's a perfectly good carbon fiber shaft, right? It's a pretty good material. And like I said, the idea kind of brewed for a long time and just kind of sat there. And then this past winter, I had kind of left my job or lost my job and had some free time. Like, you know, I need to develop this. Why not, you know, try to make a product? I know a lot about fishing, a lot about hockey. Why not try to make something out of this? So like anything else, you know, in my garage here, tinkering and trying to develop it and kind of flesh out that idea. And really kind of this is the final iteration after several prototypes and, you know, playing with them in the wintertime and testing them, actually getting out on the water and scooping fish with them and really happy with the product that I've been making the past several months and had them in customer hands the past couple months and just tons of really good feedback on them.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And that seems to kind of be the theme with people over the last year and a half during the Corona thing. I noticed they're moving away from their jobs and they're creating stuff like this for several industries out there, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, kind of the looking back right in hindsight is, you know, the blessing in disguise or the silver lining or whatever, you know, however you want to categorize it. Yeah. Like nobody likes to lose their job. Mm-hmm. But you know, when it happens, when you're going through it, obviously that's a tough thing, but looking back and saying, oh, wow. Okay, cool. That gave me free time to spend more time with my family, to spend more time, you know, fishing mm-hmm. and playing hockey, doing other stuff. And then, or spend more time in the garage, you know, trying to be an entrepreneur and start something from scratch. And yeah, that's all good stuff. So yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
That's cool.
Heck yeah, man. Let's start getting into some of the, you know, details of the net and, you know, let us know kind of like what you think is the strong points and, you know, kind of what sells this net. Cause I think it's an awesome, awesome idea. I'm always about, if you can kind of recycle something, like you said, get it out of the trash and make something else out of it, it's always a good thing in my book. So I've been, Brad was telling me about it, and Brad was really stoked about not only the hockey aspect of it, obviously, because he's a hockey fan, but the flat profile about it. So that's a pretty interesting thing. I like that idea.
Yeah, some of those features like that, Josh, is what I'll call like the flat profile. Those are things that weren't necessarily planned, but going through this process of developing a product and building it and then using it, you know, out on the water, you kind of realize like, oh, wow, like most net handles are round, right? So, well, it means it turns in your hand, right? Fish is flopping or a big fish or something. Well, you know, if you obviously hockey stick here in my hand, you know, if you know anything about hockey stick, right, it's kind of rectangular, right? And it's a lot easier to hold that straight. And again, for people that don't know much about hockey, you know, back in the day, of course, their hockey sticks were made out of wood and fiberglass. And the past, you know, several years or maybe even a couple decades, they're made out of like carbon fiber. I pointed the camera there, right? So it's a high end material that works really well for this application, right? That it's lightweight, it's super strong, and then like you said, Josh, the fact that you know this happens, it gets thrown in a dumpster, you know, it's a shame, right? So it could, you know, I've been able to turn it into a kind of a win win situation where you know. I don't want to call myself a dumpster diver, but if I see a broken stick sticking out of a dumpster, I mean, I'm not afraid to grab it out of there and say, hey,
I was going to ask that. Like, what's the process?
I know. I see it now. Like, you know, the local ice hockey rinks or, you know, the Detroit Red Wings garbage can. They're like, oh, here comes that Chris guy.
Yeah, right. Right. This guy's going to build a skyscraper out of hockey sticks.
You can market that to people and be like, hey, this player had this in his hand. It's worth more.
Well, yeah. And that's, I've learned a lot over the past, you know, several months of doing this. And that's been one of the biggest challenges, actually, believe it or not, is getting enough broken hockey sticks that I can make them fast enough to keep up with demand. And so, like I said, I'm at the rink a lot, right? I play a couple times a week and then I coach my kids a couple times a week. So I'm at the rink a lot and, you know, developing relationships, you know, saying, hey, the rink, you know, manager, like, hey, what do you guys do with your hockey sticks? You know, of course they get thrown out. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, like, what if we were able to implement some type of like recycle program, right? Where you save them for me and then, you know, I recycle them so they don't get thrown away. So you can feel good about it. But then even, you know, I've done stuff where, I, you know, give back to the community where, oh, you're doing a fundraiser for hockey, right? Hockey's an expensive sport. Mm-hmm. How about I donate a net and you got, you know, it's part of your raffle or something like that. So, I've been, you know, half of my job is spent here in the garage, you know, building nets and fulfilling orders and things like that, ship them all over the country. And the other half of my job is out there, you know, knocking on doors and like I said, building that network of, you know, hey, what, you know, what if I, you know, could have your broken hockey sticks, you know, what are you going to do with them? That sort of thing. So, and it's been fun. It's been a fun process to kind of discover that. And the whole entrepreneurship thing is very new for me. So, but I'm enjoying, you know, the whole aspect of it.
That's really cool. Yeah. Like you said, that is a win-win situation for sure.
Yeah. So to kind of go a little bit further in this, since you are using broken hockey sticks, are you looking for a certain size? Are you making like smaller nets? Is it just one size?
Yeah, good question, Josh. Thank you. On the website, there's the slider where it shows different pictures. And after the first one is, I should have sent this to you guys so you could see it. But yeah, there's kind of the standard size that I've been making them the past several months. I'm still trying to develop a cool name for them, if it's like full strength or power play or something like that, but it shows you the size of them. So this is what I call a standard size, right? So it's a 30 inch handle and it starts with, I wanted it to have that, hockey stick feel, right? But I didn't want somebody's, you know, sweaty hockey tape, you know, at the end, and it absorbed water and stuff, all these bad things. So this is actually a one piece rubber grip. That has that hockey butt, you know, tape look to it, but it's rubber, so it stays tacky when it's wet. And then, like I said, it's a 30 inch handle, which is pretty versatile for most applications. I've had a lot of customers, you know, buy them for boat fishing. I've had a lot of people get them for kayaks. And then we actually have, I don't know how well you can see it on the camera, but it's actually a real hockey puck that kind of joins the two here. It, after some trial and error and playing around and developing it, it works really well. This is the vulcanized rubber is a really strong material, but similar to wood in that it, you know, you can work with it, you can drill it, you can mill it and do all different kinds of things with it. You can epoxy it and bind it. And then the net head itself, of course, is a aluminum tubing. But then this is a full rubber basket. And again, I tried different materials. You see a lot of like rubber dipped nylon. And this is in my opinion, the best material for avoiding hooks getting snagged in there. A lot easier to get, you know, there's nothing worse than a crankbait or a jerkbait with two treble hooks on it or three treble hooks on it, right? And it's in a fish and it's in the net and playing that game where, you know, you lose 15 minutes of fishing because you're trying to get your hooks out. Yeah. So this full rubber basket is really the best material for getting hooks out or not getting hooks in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dig the spacing of the holes too, because I have like a Frable net and it's a rubber basket, but the holes are very close together. So when it does get tangled, it still takes a little bit of time to get out. It's not as bad, you know, it'll come through, but sometimes I'm like, man, how did I weave myself into this thing? Like, I respect that those holes are bigger, so it's gonna act like a deterrent from that happening anyways, you know.
Yeah, once you've used a bad net, you know, or been in that situation, then you kind of appreciate when you have a good net.
I need to get something like this because I use a short one. It's like a trout net, and it's a good net. It's good environmentally and for the safety of the fish, but the handle's too short. That's my biggest gripe on it. Like that, and the basket shape of the net itself, or the holes are so small, you know, and so close together that it kind of is the pain in the butt about it. But you know, I've been looking for a net, and I'm gonna have to come check these out because that's definitely a cool product. I love that you did that with a hockey puck too, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's clever.
Thank you. Yeah, that it worked really well for the application, and you know, everything's epoxied and reinforced, and so it's quite strong. But yeah, it works really well to kind of join two pieces that normally wouldn't fit very well together, right? Like two, you know, aluminum round tubing with a hockey stick. So that took a while, but it was kind of a breakthrough for us when I figured that part out.
Yeah, most nets, the way they're rounded, they come together like that, and then they have the tubes that are just like kind of clenched together, and then they have a short handle.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you shooting to use a hockey puck? Did you try something else first? And you're like, and then it didn't work, and you're like, let me try a hockey puck.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was some trial and error, some other prototypes. Something I've discovered too through that process is the inside of diameter of hockey sticks can vary across different manufacturers, right? Bauer, CCM, Warrior. So the idea of fitting or doing some type of connection where you're going inside the hollow shaft of the hockey stick didn't really work. I tried that and played with it, and I just did lots of stuff, and I just couldn't make it work. And then I don't know what the epiphany was of how the puck came to me. I don't know. There's pucks in my driveway and my garage and stuff. So I probably tripped on it or something and said, holy cow, that'd be perfect. But I really don't remember what took me to that. But since then, it's worked out good. You know, my kids think it's fun back in the wintertime when I was playing with these and testing these. And, you know, we do strength tests, right? We'd put a bunch of weights in there and lift it up and try to shake the net and see, you know, where's the weak point? Where's it going to break? And, you know, how much weight can we put on and stuff? So it's gone through those paces. And then really since I started selling them in March, you know, I've had dozens and dozens of customers, both, you know, friends of mine and then perfectly strangers that, you know, just said, oh my God, that's really cool. Again, like us, you know, I'm a big hockey fan. I'm a big fisherman. I got to have this. And then, you know, netted, you know, I don't know, I'm guessing hundreds of fish in my nets the past several months. So, they've been tested and vetted pretty thoroughly.
You know, what would be really cool is if you could find a Bending Branches hockey stick and make one out of it.
Yeah, I've done some fun stuff like that that's back to, I think it was Josh's question originally, the different lengths. And that's what's really cool about it, right? Like I'll grab any hockey stick. I think this one here, this one's still got the tape on it from somebody using it. It's about, I don't know, maybe 27, 28 inches. You know, so I can't use that on that standard size because that's 30. I cut it at 31 and a half, but it's a 30 inch handle. But I am coming out very soon with a shorter version. And I've sold quite a few of them as kind of prototype or early release products. So you might have seen them out there on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, but I do a 17 inch handle. And so I can still utilize a stick like this. Or if I have a really long stick, maybe that broke at the blade, I could get sometimes two nets out of that or two net handles out of that. Now, the other thing, too, is, again, when a stick breaks at the blade and I have this really long piece, it's really easy for me to do customizations for people. I had a good buddy of mine fishes on a deep V boat. And we'd played with mine. This was back in the pre-spawn bass fishing. We were out a few times and he said, it's great, but I like a longer net handle because the gunnels are so high in his boat. And so we did, I think I did a 48 inch handle or something like that. And I've done that for customers. I think I shipped one out 2 days ago. That was for a custom length for a customer. It's really easy to do that, right? When I have that kind of material to work with and say, okay, you know, you want it 18 inches, no problem. You want it 36 inches, no problem.
Is there you mentioned customization. Is there any other customizations to it? Like if somebody wanted to have a puck with their favorite team on it or something?
Yeah. I'm working on that. That's a page I don't have up on my website yet. You can see all the products there, all the ones I have built. And then of course, if somebody says, hey, you know, when I was in high school, I used an Easton stick. You have an Easton stick. So I can shoot a picture of what I got. You can actually kind of see some my barrel of broken sticks kind of there behind me. So I can take pictures and say, hey, I got this one. You want me to build a net? So there's that kind of stuff too, but I just don't have the customization options on my website yet. But yeah, absolutely. Like, anybody from Michigan probably recognizes, you know, Schultz Outfitters, right? If you've been there, great fly fishing and conventional fishing shop, they expanded. And Mike Schultz, the owner, is a big hockey fan, right? So I picked up a couple of these when I was down there a few weeks ago. And yeah, if somebody comes to me and says, oh, you know, my kid plays hockey or I support this hockey team, can you make a net with our puck? Absolutely, I can do that. So there's lots of different customizations that are available.
That is cool. I like that. I'm a sucker for anything customizable when it comes to products like that. So that's real cool.
Yeah, because you know, I obviously my passion is kayak fishing. I spend a lot of time on kayak, but I don't want to limit myself and say this is a great net for kayak fishing, right?
Yeah.
I want people to be able to use it on boats, on pontoons, on shore fishing, on fly fishing, and everything in between. So yeah, like I said, I'm having a new product. Really, it's the same, you know, broken twig landing net, but I'm going to have two sizes available soon. And then, you know, people, of course, can customize the lengths and different things beyond that as well.
We're kind of seeing that in the kayak industry where there's a lot of products that are trying to cater to only kayak fishing. I get it, but it's not the best solution, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, perfect example is like Tourney X, right? Dwayne Wally, a longtime friend of mine, right? That like look how Tourney X started, right? It was kayak fishing, you know, tournaments and KBF, you know, the big push for them to have that, right? And going by just length and not weight, right? And then look at Tourney X now, you know, that was what, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. Look at it now and it's, you know, boat tournaments and shore fishing tournaments, and of course, kayak fishing tournaments. So yeah, you're right, Brad. I mean, it makes sense as an entrepreneur, as a business person to diversify yourself and open yourself up to as many, you know, potential customers as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to mention any other company names, but there was a few that come to mind. I'm like, yeah, they could definitely do stuff for the boater market, but they're not. And that is, I don't know. I don't know what else to say to that, but
yeah. Well, okay. I think it's natural for us to, you know, be focused on kayak fishing because that's our thing. So like, what's a great product? Or, oh, somebody should invent this, you know, it'd be great to have this. But then obviously there's so much beyond that you know, potential and stuff and the whole world beyond it that, you know, could be utilized.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
Yeah. Let's get back into a little bit more of the features here. I don't think we went over how much the net weighs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it can depend on the shaft itself. I have some older ones that are, you know, sticks that are, I don't know, 6-7 years old, and they're maybe a little bit heavier. And then just like, I don't know, tennis shoes or fishing rods or anything else you go to the store to buy, right? There's a whole spectrum of hockey sticks. You know, there's I don't know, there's a lot of $75 to $80 hockey sticks, you know, that are carbon fiber. And then there's, you know, this one here, this Bauer is probably a $250 to $300 stick. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's some variability in how much they weigh, but generally speaking, they're going to be a few pounds, 3 to 4 pounds total. But the beauty of this, because, you know, the end is sealed and epoxied at both ends, and this is a hollow chamber, right? We get a ton of buoyancy from this, all this air in here. So actually the broken twigs in this size, and the smaller size as well, they float. Mm-hmm. So, that's a huge advantage. Even when it's a little bit heavier, carbon material here, a little bit thicker stick, they still float. So I think that's a pretty cool feature. Not a lot of nets can do that.
Yeah, that's big. That floating, that's a big feature right there, especially for kayaks.
Yeah. Show me a kayak angler that hasn't dropped something in the water and lost it.
I know.
I'll show you a liar, because we all have, right?
It's awesome that you have it, the ability for it to float without having to add foam. You know, you see a lot of guys adding a lot of foam, and you know, it's just, it looks better without it. It looks more sleek, and you know, it doesn't make it as bulky too. So,
right. Absolutely. That's just more bulk when you see the foam added on here, even on the handle. And then a lot of times when you have it sitting up behind you in your milk crate or something, that's just more to catch wind. Or if you don't do that, and then you risk, you know, dropping it in the water and losing it and kissing it goodbye.
Yeah, that's not any fun when you got what? How much is the net? $100?
Yeah, exactly. We sell. I'll sell both sizes, but the standard size right now is $99.
Okay. Yeah, that's not any fun when you're dropping that in the water and it don't float.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or God forbid a rod and reel or something like that. Right. We've all been there. And even if it's a $10 pair of pliers, you know, it's still frustrating.
Yep.
To lose something like that.
So here's the one thing that kind of would be a little tough for a lot of people, especially people who utilize, you know, things to kind of hold the net in place. That is, everything is geared like kind of for paddles, right? So your rotor grips and stuff people have started using actually as a way to actually hold their nets also. So there would be the issue, and I'm not saying this in a bad way by any means. I actually kind of want to be like, so maybe you could look into coming out with a mounting system, like a track mounted system that fits these hockey, you know, the rectangular profile.
Huh? Yeah, that's a good point. And I, again, something I stumbled across, Josh, was I'm a Ram guy, so I a lot of Ram mount stuff. And they have I think it's a roller grip, a roller ball grip, similar to the roller grip by Yaktak. And again, this is, I'm either super lucky or just the way things worked out. I was like, it's the same thing. I'm like, oh, you know what? I like to clip. I don't like to actually have my net behind me, right? In a milk crate or something that does catch a lot of wind, right? So I like to lay it on the deck of my boat and clip it in one of those rollerball grips. And it's a little bit wider than a paddle, but not much. And it actually fits in there perfectly. Now, I'm really lucky or really good. I haven't tested the Yak Attack roto grip, so I can't speak for that, but I know the Ram mounts one holds it perfectly. Yep. I use it on my kayak all the time.
Nice. Ram has something for everything.
That's awesome.
That's
cool. Yeah, because I was wondering, like, I'm like, you know, it's been a while since I've actually held a hockey stick, so I used to play a little bit of like street hockey and stuff like that. So, and I've attempted to play hockey once, but I was like the first time I ever tried to skate. So, but it is, it was kind of in my mind. I'm like, but the thing that I like about that though is with that flat profile, even if you didn't have it secured like that, you probably wouldn't get the movement you would as you would in a sense, like a round shafted net, because you know there's that just that little bit of material that's in contact with the side of your boat. It's going to slide real easy. With that, it's laying flat, you know, on a fairly flat surface. You know, a lot of gunwale walls are on the flat side, you know, where the gear tracks are. So I'm sure Brad could come up with something to mount it, but that's cool. That's a good point. And I'm glad you made that, because if somebody was interested in getting your net and still wanted to do that, they do know that there's a grip out there by Ram. You said it's called the Rollerball.
Rollerball, yeah.
Yeah. And it fits perfect in there.
Yep, it really does, yeah. And like I said, that was just by luck. Something else that I'm kind of looking at here as I'm holding in my hand, I realize, and you may not know, Josh, if you're not follow hockey a lot, but years ago, we always want to make hockey sticks a little bit more grip to them, right? Your hand slides up and down a lot, but sometimes you don't want it to. So you'd see over the years, and you've probably seen it, guys would wrap hockey tape around there and stuff just to make it a little more friction and just a little bit grippier. Yeah. Well, hockey stick manufacturers, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, maybe longer, I could be totally off, started making almost like a rubber grip built into the stick. And they're marketed as grip sticks, and some have conventional sticks that are just relatively smooth, but the grip sticks with that rubber make up about, I don't know, probably 75 to 80% of the sticks that I come across, and that's really, again, really lucky here, but it works perfectly when we're talking about fishing, right? So again, this is a rubber grip here, right? This is all a rubber handle, but the rest of it is too. So if you have to grab up here, it's still kind of tacky and has like a rubber feel to it. So even when it's wet, again, you get a really good grip on it.
That's cool.
I'm not gonna take credit for that. I'm gonna chalk it up to being lucky, but
it is being lucky, man. You got a lot of good breaks, because that was one of my next questions, because you're not always gonna be at full extension, especially in a kayak. A lot of times you're gonna be on the short side of that, but what kayak anglers love is to be able to keep that fish in water. Yeah. And that's where you see the longer shaft, the longer handles actually come into play. Cause I know how I am. I can't do it with my current net, where they'll tuck it up under their leg, between the seat, and let that fish sit in there while they get their board out and get their phone ready and that sort of thing. So you kind of want to be able to have something that has the ability to do both. And that was my question, was going to be like, okay, well, if you have to, shorten up, your distance from the net, to your hand, is that grippy? Is that metal slick? And you answered my question. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. It works really well. Kind of like what I hear you saying, Josh, is like choking up on it, right? Yep. Or even resting on your arm, right? So you get a little bit more leverage if it's a little bit heavier fish, kind of doing that. But you're right, though, you kind of choke up on it. Or, the point that you raised, which it never really occurred to me till a couple of years ago, I started seeing guys do it and had a buddy show me, where, they'll have the fish in there, right, sitting in the water. And then with a little bit longer shaft, you tuck it under your legs. Guys do like almost like a PVC tube under their seat, if the seat sits high enough, and they can literally slide the handle of the net in there. The basket sits in the water with their fish, and then that's not going anywhere, and they have free hands to get out their phone or hog trough or whatever they're doing. So like I said, this standard size, or I really need to come up with a cooler name for it, but this standard size is super versatile, right? That both the size of the basket itself and then the length of the handle does kind of like what you're saying, Josh. It gives you lots of different options.
Yeah,
on the kayak or boat.
You could name it the Crosby.
The Crosby. I'm going to exclude a lot of customers if I do that.
I was just messing.
I'm a fan. I mean, he's a great hockey player. People love to hate him, and I don't understand why, because he's so good. But
I'm surprised you said that, since you're a Red Wings fan.
Yeah. We lost the cup to him and lost many games to him. But you can't – it's one of those things. Like, I could be a hater, but – No, I admire the guy. He's just an outstanding hockey player.
Yeah. Oh, well, we went back to back with you guys. You guys beat us the first year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And wasn't that was game 7 too, the second year.
Yep.
And in fact, I saw the highlight, the replay of that end of that game 7 where you guys won, that Pittsburgh won the following year, was like a flurry of shots and stuff at the very end. And then Pittsburgh came out on top and won game 7.
Yep. Yeah, that's cool, but
so tell me a little bit about what nets do you guys use right now, and why is that? Just something you stumbled into, or are there particular features or things you like about the nets you guys have?
Oh, I'm not too happy with mine now. Like I said before, it's a good net. you know, it's I wanted to make sure that I found something that I could get lures out easier, and something that was, you know, not harmful to the fish. And the reason I actually came across it was from watching, Matt Nelson, Indie Yak Angler on YouTube. He's a guy that fishes up in the Minnesota, Wisconsin area, in North Dakota. He fishes all over the place up there, I think. He's a big time river guy. And I just, his net, I was always like, and he gets his lures out real quick. They don't get stuck. And I just happened to message him through one of his videos on YouTube. And I asked him about the net, and he sent me the exact model number. It was a Frabel net. Mm-hmm. And I was actually with Brad when I lost it. As small as that net was, it does not float, I learned. I caught my first 20-inch smallmouth here in Ohio with Brad. And I thought I caught a pike because it, like, pulled so hard, it pulled the boat, like I got pulled towards it. And I catch the fish, I take pictures, the pictures don't go, everything fell apart like within like the immediate time I caught this fish. But one of the things that ended up happening is I got into the bushes a little bit, and as I backed my kayak out, I didn't notice my net was hooked onto the tree branch, and so it fell in the water. And literally all I did is go out and buy, it's not a Frabel, but it's pretty much the same thing. I can't remember the brand name, but it's the same size and everything. It's a good net. And the reason I started getting frustrated was me trying to, I kind of figured it out was through fishing tournaments, getting your phone out and, you know, trying to hold on to a fish and keep it in the water. And it was really hard. It's really hard to do it because that handle is so short. I mean, this net is set up for fly fishing for trout, you know. So it's meant to be strapped on a backpack and have hardly any length to the shaft. So I have not gotten one, you know, since I've bought that one. But that was what I looked for, was the rubber coating, or at least the rubber. I don't want to say mine's rubber coated. I think it's rubber because it's real weird. But this year I started about halfway through last year, I started branching out, trying to throw more baits. I threw a lot of soft plastics with single hooks in it. And so I have this giant collection of hard baits, and I'm like, these things are just literally sitting around. Once you, take something out, use it and get out there. So I've been doing that. And that's where I started to realize how that net wasn't very good for stuff with treble hooks. It comes out. Don't get me wrong. It comes out of there. It's just when the fish flops or whatever, and it will like twist itself around in those little holes. So then I'm sitting there having to try to pick it out, and it's always come out. It's not done anything to the net. It's just somehow it just loops in there so many times, and with them being small and together, it looks like a knot half the time, but it's not. It's just kind of like you said, it's a waste of time when I'm out there fishing. And
and the most inopportune time, right? Like right when you land a fish, you're like, I want to go right back to either to that spot or whatever, or nearby.
Yeah, and not a big deal if you're just fun fishing. Okay, cool. Like, it's not, I'm not going to be like stressed out about time, but when you're tournament fishing, that's where it gets to be a pain. So, and that's Brad, that day that I did really well in the tournament that we just had, or what was it? Which one is that? Why did I just forget it?
150.
Yeah, radius. The 150 mile radius one. And I decided to fish the river, and it's a three fish limit. And in the first 20 minutes of the tournament, starting at 6 a.m., I've got a 19 and a half and a 19 inch smallmouth out of the river. And then shortly thereafter, I caught an 18. So I was like in the lead for most of the day, basically, on those three fish. I even upgraded once to kind of keep in the lead. And then two guys had like some last minute heroics. But one of those fish, I ended up losing like 10 minutes. It was the first one, I think, actually. The first one that I caught, I lost 10 minutes trying to get my popper out of the net. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like, you know, this is a headache. And it was hard because I've got this 19 and a half inch behemoth smallmouth in this tiny trout net. I mean, the opening is big enough for the fish and deep enough, but when you catch a river smallmouth on a topwater, it's pissed. And, you know, it's, and I've got treble hooks in it, and I'm trying to get it from hook, keep hooking itself, you know, like it hooked itself. I got the hook out of its mouth originally, and then it flopped again, and it reset the hook on the outside of its mouth. And I'm like, good Lord, man. And then the back half is all like jacked up in the net. And I'm like, somebody's, it was one of those times I'm like, I think I'm going to get stuck in the finger at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Cause there's just no, it's not enough space. And so it's kind of where I'm making the realization, like it's time to get a longer handle. It's time to get that deeper basket too. So
longer handle is a must for me. Yeah. I won't ever go back to short handle.
What are you using, Brad?
It's one of the ones, Greg Blanchard was using. I found out what he was using from one of his YouTube videos, Foreverlast G2 net. It's the one that's all wrapped in foam and then it has a rubber net. But yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I like it. No issues with it.
I think it was Josh or Brad that said that there's whack something here. So, you know, on hockey sticks you can see how well it'll show up. That's Matthews, right? I think he plays for the Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. So that signifies the curve of the blade, right? It's a Matthews pattern, right? They get some promotion out of him. And so that's cool. I've had customers that say, oh my God, I'm a big, you know, Pittsburgh fan. I'm a Crosby fan. I wanted to say Crosby on there or something. So I do get those. But I do have, because of the relationships I've built, I do have some NHL game used sticks. So that's pretty cool to be able to have, have a net that, you know, was once used on the ice.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Somebody, so I'm kind of lucky to get some of that stuff too. But those are a little bit, you know, fewer and far between.
That is cool. What you need to do is walk into the GM office up there at Red Wing and be like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. way ahead of you on that. but yeah, there's, this is something relatively new or relatively recently I've learned that, and it's okay. I can manage through it. But if you think about it, my seasons are kind of opposite, right? So with the exception of, you know, NHL playoffs are going on right now, but not a lot of people are playing hockey and breaking sticks. But everybody's on the water and wants to buy nets and fish with them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then the opposite's going to be true come, you know, November through, you know, February. I'm going to have access to a lot of sticks, but not a lot of people will be buying nets. But like I said, that's okay. That doesn't mean, you know, I can't still make nets and, you know, put nets in people's hands, but yeah, that's something that, like I said earlier in the conversation, is a whole side of my business, is that I'm, you know, reaching out to people and developing those relationships and trying to, you know, kind of build something there.
Right. Well, that's cool.
Now, are you there, Brad?
Yeah.
I thought I lost you for a second. Sorry. I'm looking through the website, and if you're ordering one of your nets, are they able to select them by the shaft, or is it just kind of random?
So what's on there right now are ones, I don't know if how well you can see it or not, but behind me hanging on my wall here, on this whole wall of this garage, I have pre-made nets in this kind of standard size. And like I said, when I get some more components in, I'm going to do the same thing for that little bit smaller size. And so what you see on the website are pictures I've taken literally here in my garage floor of all the nets that I have made.
Right? Okay.
So you can click through, I think there's what, maybe 12 or 15 different nets there. So you can say, oh, okay, cool. I like the Bauer one, or that Warrior black and white looks really cool. So people can choose those and literally buy that exact model. Now you can also reach out to me and say, and I get this quite a bit. People say, oh, do you have a red and black stick, or do you have one that says Crosby on it? I'm a big Crosby fan. Or do you have, you know, I use the Warrior when I played, you know, beer league hockey, or when I played high school or whatever. And then I can go to one of my, I have a bunch of bins here with broken sticks in them, and I can go through and take pictures and say, yeah, this is what I got, type of thing. So yeah, you could do a little bit of both. Like I said, I want to build a customization page on the website where people, you can, you know, learn about the different options that I offer. Yeah. But right now, yeah, you can click through and literally buy, and I'll ship tomorrow the exact sticks or exact nets that you see right there.
And they're all carbon fiber?
Yep. Yep. I do have some, I've made a couple wood ones. Those are more for like fun. Or I had a good buddy of mine is a goalie. So I had a Vaughn wood goalie stick I made into one for him.
That's cool.
I really want to get a sheer wood just to have, like, cause it looks cool, right? Like an old school wood stick. They're quite a bit heavier than the carbon fiber, so I don't like to use them quite a bit. So everything you see on the website, to answer your question, Josh, is all carbon fiber. And that's what I come across the most, right? I do get some broken ones. I have some actually old aluminum shafts here. They're a little bit harder to use, and I still keep them around because someday I'll find a use for them. But with the exception of custom ones that people want, maybe they want a wood stick or something, everything that I sell are the carbon fiber handles.
Heck yeah. I'm interested. I'm going to have to reach out to you. I want to figure out which one's got that grippy shaft all the way up.
Yeah. 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 You'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you put it in your hands. You're like, okay, that's almost a little tacky, not tacky, like it's not sticky, but you know, definitely when it gets wet, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be smooth where your hand's going to slide around or anything like that.
And then, yeah, like I tend to wear earlier, in the conversation, it'll be interesting to see, cause I wear gloves that have some grip on them too.
Yeah, that'll work well too. And even the rectangular shape of it, like I said, it's not something because of the round shaft of, you know, conventional nets that twist on you, right?
Yeah.
You don't get that. It's a lot easier. Even though it's kind of an odd shape, that rectangle actually fits in your hand a lot better.
Yeah.
The net I'm using now, I extended the handle 24 inches. I wrapped it with baseball bat grip tape.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of similar.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Cause you kind of get the feel like, okay, you know, a lot of net handles, especially cheaper ones, are just aluminum, right? Just like pressed aluminum. And yeah, that, even if they're painted, that doesn't give them any type of friction or any grip or anything like that. So a lot of times, yeah, you end up like wrapping some tape around it, you know, putting some baseball tape or some type of grip or something on it. So it doesn't fall out of your hands.
Yeah. The grip tape is awesome. I don't like the foam handles. The grip tape is like the perfect match. Everybody likes the wind grips and stuff. I like the grip tape. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's this is gonna be a dumb question because I might have missed the answer to this because I was bringing up his website when you guys were talking about it. But what is making it float?
I'm sorry.
What's making the nets float?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit earlier. It's the hockey sticks. With the exception of like old wood or fiberglass ones.
Yeah.
Those are solid, but they're all hollow. I could probably show you a cross section, right, of the stick here, right? So you can kind of see inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can see, but it's hollow, right? So it's obviously woven carbon fiber around the stick, but it's a, you know, hollow cavity in here, right? So that's all air, right? And so I pride myself in attention to detail. So, you know, little things like I want to make sure that the end caps match the brand of the stick, right? So if it's a Bauer end cap, you know, on a Bauer stick, and that's epoxied into place. And then part of my manufacturing process, when I put this on, not only is there hardware that holds all of the pieces together, there's epoxy as well. And the epoxy sealed at both ends means we have one big air chamber here.
Cool.
So that's what gives it all that buoyancy. And even, I mean, I guess you could get some from the hollow aluminum tubing here. Mm-hmm. But this is what makes it float, the big air chamber in here.
Nice. Heck yeah. I gave you a weird look. I don't know if you saw that when you stuck your finger in the end of that.
Yeah.
I was like,
make you nervous a little bit.
Yeah, dude, because carbon fiber sucks when it's on your hands.
Yeah.
I broke a paddle. It got run over by a car and I picked it up and I didn't even think about it. And I grabbed it right around where it was cracked. And I picked out those fibers for like a 10-minute drive to the lake.
And yeah.
I've seen carbon fiber be broken, but I've never touched it. And yeah, that's when you did that, I was like, oh,
it's like fear factor is probably slightly less than like fiberglass, you know, like real fiberglass when you break it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do something like that. It's the weirdest stuff. Like, I don't know I had one of those little slivers the other day, and I don't know what I even touched. I don't even think I was in the garage. And I'm like, man, that's the tiniest little thing. Yeah. That just is the most annoying and painful thing.
It gets in there, and they're hard to see. Man. Yeah.
It's even too small for like tweezers to pick it out. But.
Yeah.
Well, right. Did you got anything else?
No, man, we covered it. I think we hit all aspects of it. So it was a good conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Chris, same guys. Anything, I appreciate it. Anything you want to add, Chris?
No, I appreciate all the support and stuff that, you know, from you guys, you know, found me on social media and just that really sincere, genuine, like, excitement when people see the product, like, that makes me happier. Like, seeing, you know, when customers like chime in and say, oh my God, I have one of these, I love it, like, it's awesome. That, and not because, you know, I sell them and I'll sell more when somebody says that, it's because, like, it's just truly, like, energizing to see people like, using and liking and getting excited about the same thing that I get excited about. So
yeah, it's your craft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's yeah, exactly. Just like I can't cook to save my life, but just if a chef or something, right, makes a really good meal, and I'm sure gets enjoyment out of seeing somebody else enjoy it. So, I love that part of it. And hopefully it grows from here. Like I said, it's been a little bit less than a year, but hopefully, you know, the sky's the limit. So thank you guys. I appreciate you for having me on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. It's a really great idea. Like I said, I'm a big fan of where you can recycle some stuff, like, you know, especially things like that. You know,
yeah, if you've ever driven by, and I'm sure you guys have, like I have, you've ever driven by a landfill, like, it's depressing really to look at that and think, like, every week the garbage truck comes and picks up stuff from your curb and takes it there. And I feel good that I do a little bit, contribute a little bit to helping that.
Yeah, you're saving the world from splinters.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, I'd appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, man. It was good. I think you sold me on a net. I'll be purchasing one soon.
Yeah. Reach out to me for sure. And maybe if we're really lucky, we'll coordinate it where save you guys some shipping and you just come up here to Fish Lake St. Clair and pick up your net.
Yeah, Brad.
I want to go. Heck yeah.
You can Brad, you can drag me out there because I don't have a pedal drive or a motor right now. So,
oh yeah, I'll tow you around.
All right, sounds good to me.
All right, well, we're winding it down. So,
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Look me up on social media, Broken Twig Landing Nets, on both Instagram and Facebook. And then, like you guys said, the website you were surfing around is brokentwiglandingnets.com.
And that's through Shopify. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. I missed you, Josh.
It's done through Shopify.
It is. Yep. You go to brokentwigslane.com. But yeah, exactly. Everything's through Shopify. So it's all up to date and secure and all that stuff.
All right. Cool. Yep. All righty. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us for another episode of The Final Cast. And we'll see you next week. Take care.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.